Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining me for your ROH review. I am solo today, but some exciting news on that front that I'm going to fill you guys in on. Shared it on Select first. If you had been subscribed and listening to Sour Graps, you would already know who my permanent co-host is going to be, but I'll tell you that in just a moment. Right after I remind you to get in your super chats, no humper chats tonight, but to leave a thumbs up on this video if you would. We got the TNA post show on the back end of this. You got me running down ROH for the first half of this, but very excited to tell you about what's on FightfulSelect.com. We had so much news breaking this week and even more coming out of Double or Nothing, I'm sure. A double pay-per-view weekend is going to yield a bunch of stuff, but one of my favorite parts of Fightful Select quickly is becoming the Fightful Select Discord. I didn't do it this week, but I've done a couple of Q&As. And I have loved it, and I like the times that I'm in there. I just forget to go in there. I've been better at it since I've been locked out of Twitter, thanks to Tom Campbell, who's being such a scutch about it online, as is my own boss, by the way, Sean Ross Sapp, putting Tom Campbell over me on his solo stream yesterday. Just rude, but I didn't really care because I was at the beach and it's all in good fun. But I will say, you know what I did? I got Sean secured to throw out the first pitch at the Lexington Legends game tomorrow. And I was all excited for him. And I was like, you know what? He's had a rough month. He's had a rough couple, like 6 weeks to 2 months, really, at this point. What a wonderful, fun thing that would be. I hope he would feel so special getting to do that. What does he do? He buries me. So now I hope that he throws it like 50 Cent, if you guys are familiar with the GIF and the whiff that 50 Cent had. But we're going to talk some ROH, get in those super chats, or even just these regular chats that keep me going through these solo shows, saying at this point I don't even watch ROH, I just keep up because of Kate. Not great as a reflection for the product, but I appreciate it very much. So thank you so much for being here. Props to Kate Pay for pulling through. This is tough because it feels like there's some good and some bad, but the good is stuff that we should be able to expect, and the bad is very, very fixable. But we're going to get into all that and more. I'm also extremely excited to let you guys know that SP3 is going to be my permanent co-host starting in June. So you'll have one more guest host show next week with me and a guest host, and then you'll have SP3 as my full-time co-host, which I'm so excited about. I always have such a blast when he's on. Starting clean in the new month, second half of the year, SP3 is going to be joining me on the ROH. So if you haven't seen him yet, you'll fall in love with him. I do every time we're on stream together. And it's not just because he's a ZSJ stan like myself. He just has such an infectious energy and brings a wealth of knowledge to the show. So I'm very, very excited to have SP3 as my permanent co-host moving forward, starting at the beginning of June. Keep me alive in the chat, guys, even if you're not sending in super chats, which are always appreciated. Let me know what you were thinking about tonight's show. Because I got to say, I have some overarching complaints, but these are so much easier to digest when we're closer to an hour. The only thing I'm sad about being locked out of Twitter on, it's been a very peaceful week, I'm not going to lie. But being locked out of Twitter, I was very sad that I couldn't tweet about the fact that this episode was 69 minutes long. And as you guys know, if you're familiar with me, I am a purveyor of 69 jokes, and I wasn't able to make any. I was so bummed, but this was a 69-minute episode. My only complaint is this is a couple weeks now where we're just getting, like, three squashes on a card. And I'm like, well, hold on. That kind of feels like you're just smooshing stuff on there for the sake of smooshing stuff. But we're going to get into all of that and more. A lot more of you are watching now than you were at the start of the show. So I will just remind you to leave a thumbs up on this video if you could. It is our little show that could, I always say, because it's got both of the paywalled shows, or hardest to access shows, at least, I guess, with us and with TNA. So we are going to get into all that more. And Cresta and Joel will be back here on the back end of the show. So we start off with a great match between Kyle Fletcher and London Lightning, who I was not familiar with before these tapings. I'm very glad to be familiar with now, because he is very, very impressive. I think commentary said he's only been at this for 2 years, and he's very, very good. Very, very good. This was a proving ground match. This was one of the longer proving ground matches that we've seen, and I really appreciate that, because as this was going, I was like, damn, maybe someone's going to finally prove their ground, because we got 9 minutes into this and Kyle Fletcher had not secured the pin. And we've seen London Lightning a couple times, so I was like, that would be a fun story if a non-ROHer was able to pull one out here. That doesn't happen, unfortunately. A huge pile driver from Fletcher for the win in the last minute of this. But this was a whole bunch of fun, man. Kyle Fletcher is so damn good at every aspect of this. Pacing, facial expressions, selling, delivering offense, putting together an in-match story is something that he is very, very good at for such a young age, for any age, honestly. It's kind of, it's really getting out of that young phenom, 25 and under, whatever, and just now moving into, he's just one of the best at any age to do this. And it's very, very cool to see. I do miss Mark Davis, but he is having a hell of a singles run, and the future is very, very bright for him, but some good stuff. We got a dive from Lightning into a brainbuster. It was like a dive to the outside, and instead of just catching and falling Kyle, or catching him and cradling him like a baby, which we see when they're size proportions, right, he just catches him and kind of scoops him into a brainbuster in a way that I haven't seen before. If you can do something in wrestling that I haven't seen before, or I see very rarely, I am in. That's a very difficult thing to do at this stage of the game, for sure. So I really like that kind of stuff. London Lightning has a great elbow from the top rope. I loved Ian Riccaboni also noting the proper pin that London Lightning was putting on. He does a lot of fundamental things very, very well. Some really nasty kicks to the chest from Kyle Fletcher in this. And I love, as the time limit was encroaching, Kyle Fletcher started to take things more seriously and get a little bit more vicious in his offense, because he was trying to put him away. Like, he definitely did a great job of telling the story of the closer we get to the time limit, the more punishment you're going to eat. And I really, really, really like that. Big fan of what we got out of this. But overarching complaint, continually, nobody proves their ground. Nobody has won a proven ground match yet. And I think part of the problem is they don't come from inside the locker room. I said this a little bit last week, and I'll reiterate it again this week, because I feel as though it also applies. People in the back should be wanting the titles, right? Like, if you told me who's next in line for Mark Briscoe, I don't freaking know. Mark Briscoe hasn't been around. I know he had a kid, so no disrespect to that, but no vignettes. We get the cool AEW story thing, which I'll talk about when we get to it. But for the most of them, we've gotten a couple sporadically, the Infantry, and I think there was one on the single side. It might have been Lee Johnson. The Infantry are the only ones to have done it. Okay, well, there you go. Like, I don't understand why people in the back are not the ones that are trying to get these title shots. It just makes no damn sense. And it's because this is a directionless product. Like, it feels a lot like being sour on Tuesday nights in a lot of ways. And they are also two products that are in the same boat of being half standalone brand and half developmental, right? Like, so maybe it just comes with the territory, but it certainly feels like before the last pay-per-view, this company was on track, or this promotion was on track, at least with telling stories going into things. I don't know where Dalton Castle is. He had a collision appearance. Same with Johnny TV. Ethan Page is gone. We get Lee Johnson back tonight, but it feels like a lot of just men's singles talent is nowhere to be found. The pure division has evaporated. We do have our tag champions around, which is nice. We do have Kyle Fletcher around, which is nice, but he's not fighting with anybody in the locker room. He's just taking on indie chumps and beating them up. No, I'm kidding. I love independent wrestling, but for the sake of the Kyle Fletcher perspective, I say that. So it would just be nice if people in the locker room wanted title shots, is all that I'll say. But the news that made me maybe the most excited on this episode, the Workhorsemen are back. What a journey it's been from Anthony Henry getting released after being injured to coming back here. I loved the cohesion. I loved the matching gear on both sides, by the way. Serpentico and Angelico having matching gear, which I appreciated. Anthony Henry's hair, like, he looked super lean. Like, everything just was feeling very refreshed. The crowd gave him a really nice response as well. And it was a really, really fun match. I love the tandem offense spot of the standing twisting neck breaker into the senton from JD Drake. Anthony Henry locking on one of those standing twisting neck breakers looks so great. I'm a huge fan of that. ZSJ does it all the time. It's one of my favorite moves because it just looks so nasty. And what I love in wrestling, this is probably why the Samoa Joe walkaway spot is my favorite spot ever. I love in wrestling when somebody can do something that looks extremely violent or vicious that requires as minimal effort on their part, because one, it makes you look extremely smart, and two, it also just makes you look kind of cool. Like, if the move is incredibly easy, it also makes you look extremely, like, opportunistic and cool, in my opinion. So just cool points for that sequence. But a really nice second rope DDT on JD Drake from Serpentico in this. Again, I love the diversity of the roster. We get someone like Serpentico. Later, we get someone like John Cruz. I just feel like they're so different. And it's nice to see that mix here in ROH. But I also liked Angelico and Serpentico having matching gear. I guess they're a tag team. It would be nice to see some contendership really pick up in the tag team division. And this match was great. We do have Griff Garrison and Cole Carter interfering. They look like they walked right out of an Abercrombie for this. Like, it was like, I got off my Abercrombie shift and here I am. Like, Cole Carter shirtless in his jeans and his hair. And Griff Garrison in his, like, navy Docker shorts kind of cracked me up. I don't know what's going on with this team. I get the story with Maria. I get that inevitably they'll have a tag title shot against the Undisputed Kingdom. That all makes sense, right? But taking a vested interest in here, the Workhorsemen getting the win in their return. Some good stuff. Some good stuff. I'm a big proponent of the Workhorsemen. Always have been. Big fan of what they do, and very happy that Anthony Henry is back in the picture here for sure. For sure. Even more of you have piled in since we kicked off this stream, so I'll once again remind you to please leave a thumbs up on this video. It's very helpful to people finding us in the algorithm. Also, go ahead and remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Before I put over the Discord, I always put over Sean's Q&A show, too. I think it's just an extremely valuable thing to have. He does a really great job with those. The Discord also has an Ask SRS channel. Please, for the love of God, don't tag him in that channel. It's dedicated to questions for him, but some really good stuff happening. Two pay-per-views this weekend. I know Double or Nothing's going to have some fun stuff that you guys are going to want to stay tuned on. MJF news broke up there earlier. The continued questions about Becky Lynch's contract, Natalia's contract. There was at least initiation for conversation. So big contract season still to go, people. Stay tuned. Stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. as I do that, your girl needs a manicure. So send in some super chats if you can, because whew, girl's got to get her nails done. For Kaza asking in the chat, he was 2 dimes in NXT. He got splashed out of the company. He has a good moveset. I just feel like his identity and Griff Garrison's identity is kind of all over the place. Like, it felt like they just were clinging on to the fact that Maria is a MILF, and dear Lord, she is one of the most stunning people I've ever seen in my life. But they've been kind of silly with that. They've been more serious. They've been not on the same page. They've been on the same page. Like, they just don't seem to have a clear identity of who they are. And that's okay. Like, that's a criticism for me to make as a professional podcaster. I hate how self-important that sounds, but legitimately, that, what I mean by that is it's like an analytical criticism. I say it with the understanding that this is a developmental program for developmental talent, right? So I think it's something that they'll get to. It just doesn't feel like they're there yet. But it also is hard because this promotion feels kind of directionless, so I don't know how people are supposed to find their identity when the program is directionless, right? Like, that's hard. That is hard, but we continue on, as it were, anyway. We got a Daddy Magic promo that I'm going to talk about closer to his match, but we move on to Nyla Rose and Rhea Von Slasher. What a name! Rhea Von Slasher. There's like Masha Slamovich, and then there's Maria Von Slasher for like coolest names I think that you can get as a kick-ass woman. But commentary, again, Caprice and Ian always do such an incredible job, but really putting over the fact that Rhea Von Slasher kind of isn't as easy to throw around for Nyla as most of her opponents are. There's not like a huge size and strength differential. Rhea Von Slasher is as you would picture her. She's a big, strong woman. Absolutely love, love, love the name that we get for her. But this is a glorified squash. And one thing I didn't love about this episode was the sequencing of it, where we got 3 squashes kind of in a row. But a fun spot in here, we get Nyla with some kicks early on, but there's a spot where Rhea Von Slasher goes to cannonball Nyla in the corner, and she just moves out of the way. And then she delivers a cannonball of her own. And I just thought that was a nice, like, I'm a step ahead of you, I'm a little bit more veteran than you kind of sequence. As I said earlier with that standing twisting neck breaker, I love moves like that. I love when Samoa Joe moves out of the way. I like when Nyla moves out of the way. It's some good stuff. So I appreciate that about it for sure. For sure. But Nyla wins with the Beast Bomb. We have Meat Normus always being so generous here, saying, here's a small sack of monies for Minion 690069 to get her nails done. Well, thank you. I'm going back to my meat sandwich. Toodles. I always appreciate you, even as a vegan. Meat Normus, like a top 5 person in the world. Just the best. But feel free to get in those super chats. Oh my goodness, Shame Monster following up with, here's for a nail or two, TMD Kate. Marina winning the Defy Women's title, winning Bloodsport's Women's Tourney, all for her in ROH, killing ladies. We're going to talk about this next, actually. So thank you for the easy segue, Shea Monster, in addition to your support. I have no excuse not to get these nails done now, but we do get a really nice video package, and it's just basically, it's very well shot. The production in AEW has picked up a bit. I feel like that's probably some good pressure from WWE's picking up a lot of it, right? So I really like that we're getting such high quality stuff here. But this is basically just saying that her dad taught her to be a badass and a winner, and that she's going to teach her son to do the same. So I really like that. I wonder if her son is going to challenge for the ROH world title at this point. Who knows? Who knows? He could dethrone Mark Briscoe. I think he's like 8, maybe. I think he beat up Stokely Hathaway in NXT. So, I mean, he can work his way up the ranks. Cutie pie. Good to see, though, and I love the approach there, and I love that they're investing in Marina a little bit. I like that she's cutting her teeth on the indies a little bit. I think her style is really cool, and it fits in so well with the ROH brand that the more she gets in the ring, the better she's going to look. The better she's going to look. Wow. Spoiler alert. That should be on Fightful Select. That's such a hot scoop, but... Matthew Hook saying, Kate, I will continue my rant about people getting matches on multiple shows, yet some people get none. With this massive roster, why don't we use it? So there is, okay, now you're being an annoying troll, so I'm going to put you in timeout. Guy who was saying wrestling's not real. Yeah, duh. Neither any of your other TV shows. Oh, I thought Marvel was real. Like, get out of here with that shit. So part of it is the recording schedule, right? They record on Saturdays. So it's whoever is there and available for Collision that's not being used for Collision is who we're going to get. No, I wasn't calling you a troll, Matthew. So that's a big issue, is are they used on Collision already? But to your point, like Serpentico and John Cruz being used like this, I'm like, we do have an enormous roster. We have a very bloated roster. We have a lot of people kicking around, not doing anything. And we have a lot of people that got released from ROH when it shut down, who, if you needed utility guys, Cheeseburger, LSG, Eli, Isom, I see you, like, they could be around for those things. But this is also the problem of they're like, okay, it's a proving ground match with you, it feels like, right? Like, oh, you're here. So it just feels like it's a lack of effort. And what's disappointing to me about it feeling like a lack of effort is it felt like we were getting that effort for a while going into the pay-per-view. And I'm very sick of the on and off, on and off and off, because I don't know where my expectations should be with that. Like, if I knew what I was getting every week, I could probably sign up for it easier and just appreciate it for what it is. But sometimes it feels like they're really doing their best to tell stories that make sense and lead into championship programs. And then other times it feels like it's AEW Collision leftovers. So, and it's disappointing because it's a brand that deserves more and the talent deserves more. Like, Top Flight was white hot, and like Darius and Dante were both out injured, and everybody was so excited when they reunited. And now, like, sometimes they're a trio, sometimes they're a tag team, sometimes they're an AEW, sometimes they're an ROH. Brian Keith can't buy a storyline to save his freaking life. He's getting double submitted on AEW and reappearing out of nowhere. Like, it's maddening to me how bloated this roster is. And to your point, there are just like multiple matches, multiple people, whatever. Tim McFowell saying, more name monies for TMD. Kate, that name is too good not to use. I miss the real ROH. It's hard to justify $10 a month with such inconsistent booking. Yeah, that's a pattern we've been hearing. I was hoping the TV rights deal would kick them into a higher gear, but maybe not. Maybe they're like, and we'll throw this in on Max. So I don't know. Kyle Sparks, always the researcher here, and I appreciate him so much, saying, through 65 episodes to date, 44 proving ground matches in total. That's honestly too many. Yeah, especially when like 43 of them have not proven their ground. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating because it's a brand I'm incredibly passionate about, and I feel like the talent deserves better because it just feels like the leftovers brand. And then when a pay-per-view comes, they're like, oh, we'll pull someone down from the main roster for a program. Like, why should any tag team in ROH feel motivated right now when they're like, oh, you know what? It's going to be 2.0. We're just going to give them a title shot. Or, oh, the ROH tag champs, they're in an eliminator thing for the AEW tag championships. Like, there is no reason as a talent to feel like you're building toward anything, because they're just not. There's no divisions. There's no wins and losses being kept track of. There's no real progress. And I can't even tell you who's in a men's singles division at this point. Lee Johnson was in an 8-man today. Like, what are we doing? It's literally just effort. It's literally just effort. And that's what drives me so crazy. And why I was so excited about what Ethan Page was doing, because Ethan Page was taking such pride, it felt like. And then they just threw it out the door. So unfortunately, I've seen a lot of that. A lot of people saying, you know, I can't really justify $10 a month on this. So that's very frustrating. As far as the TMDK nickname goes, that's been cooking for a little bit. I think I gave it to myself, to some of my Australian friends, but I would appreciate it if it caught on, especially because there are some fellows in that faction that I talk to, and I would love to be able to troll them like about how over I am in it. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that I am synonymous. There are people online who will be like, she's a WWE shell or she's an AEW shell. Real ones know I'm a TMDK shell and like a New Japan shell and an Eddie Kingston like swooner, I guess. Like, that's what I should really be known for. Yeah, I'll pull this up just because I'm an Ethan Page gal. I don't know either. I don't know how you fumbled that guy. I wish him the best in whatever he does next, because it felt like the North was really cool, and then Impact at that time didn't use him to his ceiling, and then AEW Men of the Year was so cool and so over, and then just the Firm didn't do anything. American Top Team didn't do anything. He puts together all these great singles runs. And if he left because he was frustrated, he's kind of right. He's kind of right. So I don't know. I don't know if it was a contract thing. I don't know if he was just annoyed, but I would get it. I would get it with Ricky Starks too. Another person that I can't believe they've been whiffing on so bad, but it's hard. It's a hard thing. So we move along to Jimmy Jacobs and Satnam Singh for reasons. The Zombie Princess. This was nice. It was nice to feel like old ROH feels popping back into the picture for sure. I appreciate Jimmy Jacobs getting a rep here. But again, like, he has an office position in AEW. Like, him, John Cruise working two matches, at least I think, I don't know, kind of felt that way. Maybe I have him confused with someone else. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, put your talent out there. Make sure they're available, or, I don't know, plan an episode far enough in advance that you're not just pulling random people out from the locker room and you actually know who you need. But we get like a very, very large crossbody type thing from Satnam Singh on this, and then a power bomb that didn't look so great. I don't know if it was just the way he came down because he was falling from like 10 feet in the air, but the bottom of him hit before his back, which is the opposite of how that move should go. So one for two with Satnam Singh. I mean, he fought the best wrestler in the world yesterday, so we'll see. But Team TNA is not for me, as you guys know. Also, Jimmy Jacobs with the fireworks. The fireworks budget for Jimmy Jacobs, I don't know if they were expiring soon or what the deal was, but my God, did they set off a ton of pyro for that guy. Good for him. He deserves it. I've never heard a bad word about Jimmy Jacobs. I've heard many good words about him. In fact, give him the Cody pyro. Give it to him. I know they have a pay-per-view coming up. Maybe they can't use pay-per-view, the pyro at the pay-per-view, and they were planning on it, so they were like, Jimmy Jacobs gets it all. I don't know what that was, but this was the squashiest squash match that ever squashed, and it did happen. So so there you go. We move on to John Cruz and Spencer versus Shane Taylor Promotions. This was another glorified squash, but a little bit more of a fun one because I think it was a little more productive. I said this, and I'm going to keep beating this drum because I think it's a good idea. And I like my own ideas sometimes. Match was fine. You get a go-go getting some early offense in. You get him a go-going. you get Shane winning with the Marcus Garvey driver, and a go-go with a knockout punch on Spencer, who's trying to break up the pin, which looked great. Shane with a big punch in here, too. Shane Taylor's faces when someone doesn't go down from a punch, like, man, what the hell? Just so much fun. So much fun. One of the most authentically emotive big men that we get. I feel like so many big men get the, like, treatment, and Shane just feels like, I'm a big ass dude, but like, I am very much grounded in real person behavior, and I love that about him. Been a fan of his for a while. I would like to see them add another piece. I would also like to see Lee Moriarty wrestle. That would be nice. But overall, perfectly fine. I said, this is what I was saying the other day. I feel like squash matches are usually used to tell the story of, like, this really huge guy is big and indestructible. And if it's something that I can tell looking at him, that's cool. I think it would be really cool if we had a series of squash matches from, like, a mid-sized competitor that had one move. And it was just so lethal and nobody could figure out a way out of it until they did. Like, I compared it to what Ronda Rousey actually did, basically, which was like, if you're in an armbar, you're screwed. Like, you just are. Like, when she was in UFC, if you got caught in an armbar in the first couple seconds of the match, you were completely screwed. And if you survived, you were probably screwed later on until she wasn't, right? Until Holly Holm. So I just think that would be really cool. And I feel like it's a story that we don't really get. And it's one that I would love to see. So if anybody had one move that looked really lethal, and it has to be the right move too. Like, it can't just be a protected finisher. Like, it can't be Sol Ruka with the Soul Snatcher on Tuesdays or whatever. But like, if somebody just had the nastiest armbar that you could get into from any direction, feels like this would be a cool thing to do with Layla Hirsch. Could be a really cool story for the Deeb Dojo if she's ever going to have any students in her dojo. Alex pointed out on Saturday, like, she has this flag and she has a dojo and nobody ever questions that. Like, nobody's ever like, you don't have any students in your dojo. And like, why do you have a flag? It's not from another country. It's just your dojo with no students. Like, what recruitment methods are you using that are failing so terribly? But I would love if, like, Layla Hirsch and Rachel Elring or somebody moved into that picture, like, under the tutelage of Serena Deeb. It could be, like, a little bit cleaner of a Blackpool Combat Club that maybe isn't, I mean, could be equally as violent, but is a little bit more technique-based. I guess a little more heart dungeon-y in a way. So I just think that would be cool. I talked about that on yesterday on the Mark Order podcast. Feel free to subscribe there. That's where I spend my Wednesday nights at the Mark Order podcast. It would be cool if that was something that Ty Conti came back to, because she had such a unique style and kind of had like the, like, her kicks were really awesome. Like, if she came back and was under that, I think it could do wonders for her. So I think it'll be good. That would be cool if she had students in her dojo. It would be nice to have some women's factions running around here. But John Cruz also just, like, always makes everyone look good. Like, no matter what the story is, it's usually he's getting his ass kicked. But if it's not, he's very giving in what he gives usually younger talent. This was really fun because he like, escaped a little bit and then didn't. So just his facial expressions. Really good storytelling for how brief of a match this was, for sure. For sure. So we get the first of what I'm assuming is going to be many AEW stories, and it's of Mark Briscoe. It's a beautiful video package that I think is alluding to longer form content. I'm sure they're going to be pumping out a lot of stuff like this as they are keeping Max in mind for their negotiations coming down the line. It would behoove them to do so, to start thinking in terms of docuseries style type things. I think Mark Briscoe is the ROH champ, but it looks great. It looks very sincere. Seems very authentic to what their story is, and it includes a lot about Jay, it sounds like. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. And if it's culminating at the pay-per-view we just had and him winning the ROH title, that's a beautiful way to kind of kick off what this series would be. So looking forward to that. Looked great. Looking forward to more. Looking forward to his specifically and who else they decided to do this with. I'm sure Eddie Kingston's has a hell of a story. I would love to see one on him. There's a lot I would like to see. There's a lot I would like to see.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, we get to Matt Menard and Mike Bennett in what was a way more fun match than it had any right to be. We got a promo earlier where Matt Menard is like, I don't know where my tag partner is. He got morning sickness or something. He, of course, was off to marry the beautiful Ruby Soho. Congrats to them. Best wishes in the next chapters of their life. They're married now. They got a kiddo on the way. So just hope that they are having the happiest time in a period of their life that is much bigger than wrestling. So very, very happy for them. But Matt Menard, no selling the whole experience, which was pretty funny. But he says he has this opportunity against Mike Bennett. And you know what that does? Made his nipples hard. So we move into what was a very, very, very fun match. Some really fun spots in here to call out. There was a Boston Crab from Daddy Magic, Mike Menard, into a Spicoli driver that was just really, really nicely done. The Spicoli driver from Mike Bennett always looks great. Taven hits Bennett with the powder accidentally at the end of this. I don't know what type of powder it was. It could have been gunpowder, could have been baby powder, but he goes to hit Daddy Magic with it, ends up hitting Mike Bennett instead, and Daddy Magic getting the win off of the distraction there. This was so much better than it should have been. Menard used several barricades as weapons in this. Tons of counters to pile drivers in this. Tons of just counters in general. Like, he had answers for everything, and I liked that Mike Bennett also tried to slow the action back down in the ring of like, damn, this guy, he responds to everything I'm throwing at him. Let me put him in some submission holds, right, to slow down the pace of this match. That's kind of the value of Mike Bennett to me, and it's kind of the best thing you can be as a wrestler, is someone who pretty much everything they do is in service to their opponent in a wrestling context, right? Like, Mike Bennett doesn't get the credit he deserves for how selfless he is. I think that he is one of the best at letting there always be a story, even if the story is just the match. And that's a special thing. Not every wrestler can do that. That is something that is a seasoned veteran type thing. And he can do it in a lot of contexts. I've seen him in some really great hardcore death matches. I saw him in a pure match that was really good. And he's not somebody you're like, oh, when I think pure matches, I think Mike Bennett. Not at all, right? So he really is very versatile and very giving in his in-ring. Kyle Sparks, I was thinking about this feud not too long ago, that he was synonymous with the pile driver, and he and Steen feuded over the use of it. I remember that stretcher match. And I was thinking about that feud the other day. I forget why. Something on the Steen side came up. But some good stuff. Some really good stuff there. Matt Menard getting the win. So I also like, if your champions are going to lose, at least they're the ones that cost themselves. Like, they look kind of stupid here. Like, this isn't the best look for Matt Taven and Bennett, but I like it better than your opponent just outright beating you, because then you just look weak as hell, right? So some good stuff there. I just feel for the rest of this tag division, because what the hell are they working toward? But Feeling GP saying, I wish it was the ROH tag team workhorsemen. I'm at least glad that there's now a feud over the tag titles on the show. It felt like years since the last. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And that wasn't even on ROH television. So at least we have a story that we're digging into. I am kind of wondering, like, where is Dalton Castle? The Righteous seem to be back and forth. I said this before too. I think it would be really fun if, like, how Stokely Hathaway did Baddie Search, if there was, like, a boys search, if Dalton wanted to keep that as a part of his presentation. I don't think he needs it. He's so special on his own. But if he wanted to keep boys around, I think that would be a very fun thing to do. Like, the boys auditions could be super, super fun. But some good stuff. Some good stuff there. I do feel like you see other teams that are supposed to be here start to win, and then they're like, oh, we're just, these people don't have a lot to do on the main roster, and we're in their hometown or their home country or whatever for this run. So they're going to go down there. It's like, okay, 2.0 wasn't even a tag team for how long on the main roster? Like, Angelo was involved in the Ruby storyline. Matt Menard was involved with Danny Garcia and doing commentary for the most part. So it's just hard for me to buy, because the incredible lack of consistency, or the incredible inconsistency, however you choose to view the world. Guys, we are coming down the home stretch on this one. Noticeable lack of women's wrestling on this show. We do get a fun women's segment coming up here, but we get our Minion Empowerment meeting saying, Athena noting that Queen Amanada is after her again, and Bailey Stark saying that it's their show. And in a fun end to this, they both leave, and Lexi Nair is just standing there with the mic, and then they grab her hand, and she kind of comically gets pulled off screen, which was cute. So good stuff. Some good stuff there. That brings us to the main event. But before we get there, I am going to tell you about some of our friends, our good friends, our best friends. And I'll tell you what, if you want your night to be less boring than this, if you feel like you're not excited, if you're not, like, getting up and going, if you're not showing any signs on your body of excitement, if you're not horny for wrestling, Blue Chew's here.
Hello. Do you have a limp penis? A difficulty getting it erect? Boy, do I have a product for you. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL will help fix that. Blue Chew has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. But they work a lot faster because it's a chewable. It's also much more affordable. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL. Get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. One of the best parts, it's discreet. No awkward in-person doctor's visits. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door when approved by an online physician. You want to check this out. It will help you. It is a good product. It will make your sex life better. BlueChew.com, the code FIGHTFUL.
What a creep. What a creep Sean is, just staring into your eyes, telling you about Blue Chew. But you won't be a creep with BlueChew.com. Code FIGHTFUL. We appreciate their support. We appreciate your support. We ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video. I like seeing the views go up instead of down. Makes me feel good as I'm doing a solo show for the first half of this. We will have Joel and Cresta talking some TNA/Impact, a good Speedball versus Seven match in there. I don't think the Dustin Rhodes gimmick seven. I think a different seven, but Jordynne Grace also defending her title tonight, I believe, if I read correctly. So stay tuned for that. Joel and Cresta, always a hoot. Cresta getting a new little TikTok job that I hope she tells you about on the main channel. Some good stuff happening in the world of the incredible Cresta as she moves into a new year. Also a May baby, just like me. So stick around for those two goofballs, but that brings us to our main event, which means we're also going to have like 15 minutes of Q&A at the back of this. So feel free to fire away with those questions. We appreciate the paid ones, but I'm going to be stranded here doing Mad Libs by myself if nobody else participates. So this main event was fun. You had Lee Johnson in Top Flight, the Trios version. It's kind of like Taylor's version, like with all the Taylor Swift songs. It's Trios version of Top Flight. Versus the premier athletes, this being Tony Nese and Arya Daivari, Where the Hell is Josh Woods continues, and Cole Carter and Griff Garrison. So this was fun. This was everybody had a chance to shine kind of match. Darius with some really nice wrist control early in this. Shoddy Lee had an incredible dropkick, which turned into one from Cole Carter. Shoddy Lee also with some really nice headlocks, just really... really snug, nice headlock takeover in this early too. I think opening the match, Dante stealing the I Heart Mom shirt was the most I've liked the I Heart Hot Mom shirt. Ian Riccaboni, of course, shouting out his wife as a hot mom. Just mwah, classic husband father stuff. That's what you love to see. That's what you love to get on Ring of Honor. But you get Johnson trying to get in for the hot tag, but Nese tagging in and cutting him off. But Serpentico at the end of this distracting with the chair, and Garrison getting hit with a nasty half Nelson bomb from Dante that looked so, so good. This was fun. It was meaningless, but it was a fun match. That's kind of how ROH goes. This was a multi-man match with no real stakes in it. It furthered the story at the end, but you have eight guys in there and the story's not between any of them. So I don't know. I don't know. It was a fun main, though. It's always fun in-ring. Never have a complaint about the in-ring. Three squashes isn't great, especially when this was like a women's wrestling-centric brand. And this, you got Nyla squashing an indie wrestler. No offense to Rhea Von Slasher, best name in the game. And they did great with what they were given, but no other women's matches on this feels lame, especially when you have two champions. You have Athena and you have Billie Starks. Great way to build out a new title, guys. Like, one promo? Neither of them wrestling? Now, Athena, we know, looked like she suffered an injury. Here's what I don't know, and that's pretty much anything. But wrestling math tells you that if she's still giving this promo, she's probably okay, that she's not going to be out for too long. And I believe there was an announcement of an independent match in mid-June. That was like June 15th or something, only a couple weeks away. So I'm hoping that means she's all right and she just tweaked it because it did not look good. Sean does not have an update on that yet. I think he was hoping to get something today or tomorrow, but we will see, because he'll be Mr. Big Time at the single A baseball game throwing out a first pitch tomorrow, thanks to yours truly. But I will continue to ask. I will continue to ask. Matthew Hook's asking if I have know if they have any plans to actually fix ROH, or is this the way they want it to be? I asked and I got zero response. Not a yes, not a no, just nothing. So I don't know. I don't know. I tried to ask. I will continue to ask because I can't imagine talent is happy about this either. Like, it's just a meaningless product. Hey, I'm just genuinely curious. Like, why are you watching a wrestling post show if you don't like wrestling? Because that seems like a waste of your fucking life. We're going to ban him. I'll give him a second to answer his question. But if you don't like wrestling and you tune in for a wrestling post show, you're probably a huge nerd. Like, just have no life. Because why are you wasting your time? I can't answer questions like this. Reg isn't here anymore. SP3 probably can when he's back around, but I'm not calling it this. What is this tag division? Too much squash, not enough meat. The show needs Pulaski booking it. Look, I would love Pulaski booking a wrestling program in general. I don't know if there would be anything funnier than him having to book NXT, but that's just me. All right, we're going to ban this loser. Bye. Just weird. You know what I will appreciate, though? He hated everything. He wasn't like, you're an AEW homer. You love WWE. Wah, wah, wah. Women's division. Stopwatch. Chicken tenders. Wah, wah, wah. No. That guy was like, wrestling sucks across the board. So I appreciate that. At least he wasn't tribalistic. He just was wasting his time in general. And that is, that's a next level commitment. That's a next level commitment. Oh, man. I mean, why did we think the women's TV title would be treated any different than any of the other ROH titles? You got me. I think because women's wrestling was the thing that was thriving on here, right? And the past couple weeks, it hasn't seemed that way as much. We got some good stuff with Rachel Elring. We had an amazing match with Athena and Nicole Matthews. But, like, there's... What's happening in the division? Who's challenging Billy Starks? Who's challenging Athena? Eating a frozen strawberry to clear my throat. Excuse me. It seems like Queen Aminata, but, like, why isn't she having matches then? Why isn't she squashing people? Why aren't she in Red Velvet wrestling? Beats me. Who's coming after Billy? We just got this new title. We have no contenders. I'm assuming Red Velvet is getting a title shot, but what happened to Layla Hirsch? What happened to anybody else in that tournament? What about Taya Valkyrie? Beats me. Where the hell's Dalton Castle? Beats me. Beats me. Kate is hopelessly optimistic about ROH. Like we are. Just holding out hope. I will never turn down a chance to get paid to talk about wrestling. Never mind when it's been a brand that's one of my favorites. I just won't. Even bad wrestling, even formulaic wrestling, like, it's still wrestling. I'm the opposite of that guy who we just blocked from here. Like, if it's wrestling, I love it. Like, so that's where I'm at. I am wondering if today's episode had to do with Athena maybe being injured or not knowing what her status was. So that might have been why we got less stuff going on there. But I agree. I agree. Hey, our friends at Perio Magazine. I hope I'm saying that right. I know I'm not saying it right, because I'm not Australian, so I don't have the cool accent to go along with it. But saying sad how much ROH has lost direction. It is. It really, really is. But what's not sad is what's going on over there. Follow Jamie Apps and Perio Magazine, please. I got interviewed by Jamie. He's awesome. I've tried to scale back interviews and guest appearances as much as I can because I do 8 shows a week already. But there are people that I will always make time for, and Jamie is one of them. Fantastically knowledgeable about the Australian scene, which you guys probably know by now. I've become more and more passionate about. But we got to talk about Delta Brady, who looks like she is probably going to WWE. We got to talk about the Velocities. I'm coming after Tuckman, all right? I see him talking ass about the Velocities right after he got his butt kicked by Robbie Eagles. Thank you very much. So. Oh, man. Feel free to ask some questions, because normally when I have a co-host, I play Mad Libs. But I don't have a co-host today. You have TNA on while listening to Taker Mark Henry's podcast. Just learned of Joe Hendry this past week. Decided to watch TNA to see him and he wasn't on. You need to find out more about Joe Hendry. I'll just put it that way. That guy is so awesome. He's been doing this for years. I love how recently it's just kind of like come into full effect with him. And he's picking up some real momentum. The character is extremely fun, but he's a hard-hitting son of a bitch in the ring, too. Like, don't let it fool you. Don't let it fool you. Look at the good side, Kate. Your hair looks great. Well, thank you so much. I'm getting it done next week. I'm very excited. Maybe we will play Mad Libs with the chat. That could be fun. But get in any questions you have for me about wrestling. We'll do a little bit of that. We'll do a little bit of that. Dude, I've been down on Joe Hendry rabbit hole. I have a friend who is a lapsed wrestling fan, doesn't really watch anymore, who's obsessed with Joe Hendry. Like, doesn't watch AEW, doesn't watch WWE outside of pay-per-views. And he just was like, I've watched every Joe Hendry song that there is out there. Like, he's so in on it. He was, like, messaging me. I hear from him, like, sporadically. He was messaging me, like, we got to get this guy to number one on iTunes. He was so in. I loved it. I loved so much of it. But so what's frustrating is I heard that this is the case. I have a hard time believing it still is, but I had heard it had been designated to somebody else with TK still making final decisions. Doesn't feel that way anymore. Does not feel that way anymore. How can ROH be fixed? They need a separate booking team. So I'd heard that. I heard they had a separate booking team, but Tony was still making final decisions. They need to separate rosters. They need a clear sense of who is on what rosters and what divisions they're in. They need Wheeler Yuta to relinquish the Pure title. It has zapped so much energy out of this for me that we don't have Pure wrestling. And not just because I'm a Pure nerd, but it's something different. It's something special. It's something completely fresh that everything else is going on because of the stipulations, right? I feel that way about the Heritage Cup on NXT as well. So I am wildly frustrated by the fact that when Top Flight is here, I'm like, are you a tag team or are you a trio? Today they were in an 8-man match. They need consistency with who's on. Dalton Castle needs to be on TV. They should probably have belted him up a while ago. They need their champions around. It's incredibly simple stuff. It really is. It's like have your champions around. We haven't seen Mark Briscoe since he's won the title, I don't think. Have your champs around. Have them wrestling. That's it. Have people getting wins challenged for those titles instead of shooting people down from the main roster around pay-per-view times. It sucks. Does anything know? I don't know this. Him and Megan Bain just like not booked this week. Okay. Megan Bain and Camille, I heard there had been plans of. Megan Bain, I heard more specifically what there had been plans of. Camille, I heard there was a plan, but I don't know what the plan is or what the timing is. But Megan Bain, I'd heard things about. So I think that's probably good. I don't know about EJ though at all. I mean, it's also very frustrating because, like, we talked about before, Brian Keith, right? Like, incredible talent, had great showing in ROH, had a great showing in AEW. Now he's just taking double submissions and has not been in a story since he got here. I don't know. Megan Bain, that looks amazing. She does. She's getting better and better with every rep, too. This is what I heard was the case. It doesn't feel that way as of now. It does not feel that way as of now. I need to see Mustafa Ali on my TV. He is still going by Mustafa Ali. He is. He did some New Japan work. He's been in TNA. He's been all over the indies. He's like 38-0. He's awesome. Always Team Mustafa. I really am, kind of ironically, like a huge fan of everybody that was in Retribution while I hated that stable. I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about two things. That was a good looking group of people. They put them all behind masks. And then when they unveiled their masks, they still had masks on. But like, those were good looking dudes and gals and gal. And then someone who was there for a week as a gal and then like left again. Cause she was like, I'm not doing that. And they're all great. Like, Dijak is great. You guys know how I feel about Shane Haste. You guys know how I feel about Mustafa. Brennan is great. Or Mason is great. I love that him and Mansoor are starting to get their due on the indies a little bit. But, yeah. That whole faction was really good and they completely booted it. Oh, man. No to this, just a big no. No Jeff Jarrett in ROH at all, under any circumstances, at all. Not one bad member. That's what I'm saying. I think Mercedes Martinez was there for like a minute. If I'm right about this, I think Mercedes Martinez was there for literally 2 weeks and then went back down to NXT and was like, I'm not doing that shit. It's so funny that, like, I spent way too much mental energy on Retribution the other day because it was like every single one of them has charisma. Every single one of them can go. Most of them have some size on them. Like, Mason is huge. And Shane's like 6'4", 6'5", I think. And, like, Dijak is, what, 6'8", or something nuts? I saw Dijak on the street at WrestleCon and was just like, whoa, that dude is tall. I just said ratio, and then we kept walking. But, man, it's, that was one of the biggest swings and misses. But I'll forever be, I think, one of my favorite replies I ever got. I have no desire to get into scoops at all. That is a Sean Ross Sapp game. I will ride his coattails happily. I'm good. But one of my favorite replies I ever got was I had retweeted something Ronda Rousey had said about Bruce Pritchard. And I had said, I'm not a big Ronda Rousey gal. Disagree with a lot of her viewpoints, but I don't think we should dismiss her entire experience. And she had some things to say about Bruce Pritchard. And then Shane Hayes dropped in my replies and said he legitimately thought Slapjack was like a cool badass name. And that is one of my favorite interactions I've ever had. Because I just assumed that they thought it was sarcastic. And Shane was like, no. They thought it was legit a badass name. I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Oh no, they thought that sincerely. I thought they were being tongue-in-cheek about it. Nope. Man. Yeah, okay, it was Mercedes Martinez. I thought so. She was like, I'm gonna go fight Rhea Ripley in a cage instead. I'm out of here. Pandemic. This came up the other day. Pandemic era WWE was really bad. I don't know if it was worse than 2019. I was trying to think about that too. Of at least in the pandemic, they were forced to try stuff. So it was bad, but at least you were like, they're crashing and burning at least, but it's kind of fun to watch because it's like, what the hell is this? But 2019 was just regular, really, really bad wrestling. This could not be more true. Give me vegan ice cream as my scoops. I'd want no part of the scoops game. I like hear things all the time. I have no interest in reporting it. I have no interest in telling Sean it. That guy does not need my help. Like, I like talking to the wrestlers I like to talk to. I have no interest in reporting any news. If they want to get a hold of Sean, they know how to do it. Doesn't have to be through me, but no. Unless I'm specifically asked or if somebody needs me to pass along information. Other than that, nope. No, thank you. Not in the scoops game. Sean needs help, just not in that way. Truer words, my friend, have never been said, all right? Talking all that shit about me yesterday, putting over Tom Campbell. What are we doing? After all the things that I've done for that man. I secured him a single A throwing out the first pitch appearance. What could be better or more valuable than that? A lot of things. But still. Sincerely, Sean is incredibly good at showing gratitude. I feel very, very valued here. It makes me very happy. I always say, like, I don't care enough about wrestling podcasting to work in an environment where I didn't feel respected and valued. And I do by Sean and by Jimmy and all my peers, which is really cool. There's not a single one that I'm like, I would not want to hop on a stream with that person for any reason. I'm a lucky, 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 lucky gal. Blessed gal. Cause I've earned some of that shit. I've earned some of that. I put my work in. But man, there's a comment that I can't pull up, but very funny, be enormous. What about Joel? Nobody tell him. This is between you and the over 1,000 people that will end up watching this. Nobody tell Joel. But he's great. That's between us. Joel is great. The reason I say Joel is great on Thursdays is because he does all the post-production. I just have to set up the stream, so I don't have to pull any of the audio. I don't have to do any of that. I don't have to upload the thumbnail. So on Thursdays, Joel is great because he does all the work. I still set it up. I still article it. I still do all that, but he does everything so that I'm actually out of here by 10:10 and I don't have to come back and do anything. That's what happens when you're the show that goes on the second half, right? Now, this is some bullshit because Joel has had his title like as long as Roman Reigns had his, and he has never defended it, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I think the title is actually at Jimmy Van's office. It has nothing to do with that at all, I think. I will challenge for it when I come to Toronto, though. I don't know when. I don't know what the stipulation will be. But I'll be taking that title back across the border, baby. I'll be taking it through the security, through customs. Be showing them my passport, my Fightful Gold. That's what I'll be doing. So. But yeah, we've got a good little team here. Good little team. Not little anymore. We got 40 people, which rules. A Fightful Overbook Championship. That would be fun because I would be infringing on his territory. Like, I don't even really do a ton on Overbooked, but that would be good. Hey, let me know if you guys like this idea because we did a couple of them on Overbooked and they did numbers, and I'm thinking about making it a series. We did a, I think, two times where we revisited a feud that was being circled back to. So, like, when Punk faced Samoa Joe in AEW, we did a rewatch of, I think, their second match. And when Sasha debuted in New Japan, we watched her and Bayley, even though that wasn't like revisiting the feud. But it was Mercedes' big moment after that. So we watched Sasha and Bayley at NXT. I think it could be cool. Like revisiting one chapter in an ongoing feud. Like I'm sure Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will face each other again. We could go back and pick one of those, right? It'd be fun, right? I think it would be cool. Hey, Sifa. Thank you. Thank you for visiting. Thank you for stopping by. We're doing some Q&A because it was a 55-minute episode and I'm talking to myself. So kind of a Wrestle Club type thing. We did it like as a watch along, which was really fun. You can go check them out if you want to know what the hell I'm talking about. But it was fun. It was like I did some research around Samoa Joe and Punk, especially to kind of like summarize what the feud was. And then we picked one of their matches to watch. And it was like the day before. It was probably the day before All In. Or I think it was the TV one where Punk won with the flash pin. But ooh, I like this. Especially with the potential of Nigel and Bryan match coming up. I don't think that's happening where and when people think it's happening. I think Danielson is going to be too actively involved and creative down the stretch. But because of that, and I know I'm like ZSJ stan girl, I think you should do Nigel and ZSJ at Wembley. I think both those guys deserve it. I think Zach got screwed for not being on the card last year. I think if Danielson is in something that is more active AEW creative, you do that. You put ZSJ and Nigel on the card, and then you do Danielson Nigel at Wrestle Dream in Seattle is what I'm thinking. Is what I'm thinking. Not scoops. I hate scoops. But just suspicions. Just like the way he's been used. And I think what he wants to accomplish. Like I don't know if the best value of Bryan Danielson down this stretch is having him in a novelty match that you can do at another time at another place. You could do it at the next All In just as a dream match, because he's gonna be still part-time or whatever. So that's just me. But I think it was really dumb that Zach wasn't on the card last year. And you saw the pop that Ospreay got. And I know Ospreay's on another level, mate, bruv. But like Zach deserved that. It felt like a noticeable absence. A noticeable absence for sure. But we've got some TNA love in the house. Both signing on at like the same time, unless I just didn't see them there, which I apologize for. But let me get rid of my frame and I will bring on the TNA crew. Thanks for keeping me occupied in the chat, guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for getting those super chats as well. We're going to bring Joel and Cresta on, though.
Hello.
TNA. What's up,
How guys? You doing?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right.
Hello. What's going on with Ring of Honor? What's happening here? Kate, why are you by yourself? Who do I have to call?
I'm very excited because in the beginning of June, SP3 is going to start with us. So he will be my ROH co-host, which I'm extremely excited about. And we'll have one more guest host next week, which I'm very excited. But I was going to grab someone for today and I was like, you know what? I'll just go solo. Sometimes it's fun. I'm talky anyway.
I love that. Hi, everybody.
Hi, beautiful. How are you?
How did you do the show tonight? It was like an hour-long show. How did you stretch that out an hour?
It was like 45 minutes, and then we did just some Q&A, just some chit-chat, just some hanging out. I was going to do Mad Libs with the chat, but you guys got here in time, so.
Chat Libs.
How are you? How was TNA tonight?
It's good.
I was very sports entertained. I was thoroughly entertained, but also I've completely demuggled, and today was my first day as a wizard, so I'm happy to be watching wrestling again. I haven't really watched wrestling in like 2 months for real, besides TNA, and today was the first time I actually got to enjoy wrestling. Only thing I didn't enjoy, I don't want to see PCO and Steph DeLanda get married. I don't want to see that. I thought I did. I thought I could convince myself. I can't. I cannot. I'm sorry. I tried. I'm sorry. I'm a negative Nancy. It's me. You found me.
It's going to be the best Slammiversary wedding you've ever attended, and you will like it. And if you don't, I will tell TNA and all of their stars that you specifically did not like it. Just you.
That's Cresta fine. Does not love love.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. That's bitter.
You look extra beautiful today, Cresta.
I said, I do have a wizard job. So now I'm doing on-camera work. Like, literally, it was a meme, but I'm literally like QVC Cresta. I'm doing TikTok selling stuff. It's really cute.
That's so cool. I'm so happy for you.
I'm happy for myself, too, because, girl, I don't want to be a mug. I'm a wizard, Harry. I'm a wizard.
You are. You are. Tell people where they can find you on TikTok so that they can join in and buy stuff.
I can't say yet because we're still in the trial phase.
Oh, okay.
But if you happen to find me, you know, I can't stop you. But if you happen to find me,
Joel, do the pointy gimmick to her handle.
I'm trying to load up the humper chats.
You're trying to load up the humpies.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
Montreal week. No, he's not from Montreal. He's just Canadian. I'm sorry, Joel.
It's all Canada.
The TNA Montreal week thing makes zero sense. They're doing a bunch of giveaways for a show that's happening in July, and like none of it has anything to do with being in Montreal. It's not like we're going to local venues and doing. PCO did a thing at TSN 690, whatever the local TSN affiliate, which is like ESPN. Shout out to Erica. Oh my God, what's her disco death? Anyway, go check her out on whatever. She was there. PCO did a TSN thing today for them, and then they did a press pass. Her and PCO and Speedball.
Doing little giveaways? They must have put together a heck of a pitch deck for that. But I will get out of here and let you guys talk some TNA Impact. Cresta, you look great. Joel, you're also here. Have a wonderful show.
What a heel.
I just saw myself and I do not look good. I look greasy.
No, stop. I said nice things about you earlier. I had to even it out. It made me itchy. So
that's fine. Montreal, by the way, Montreal is lovely in July. So is Toronto. So I will be in Montreal for Slammiversary.
Have fun and ride there in style.
I wouldn't go that far. Bye.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.